Amen. Amen. Walking worthy. How do we walk worthy of the vocation with we're called? If you look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, I therefore. And this is a shift in the book, and you'll notice the same shift in the book of Colossians. Paul spends the first three chapters of the book building his theology. And then he moves to methodology. Methodology, or how we do something, has to be built on truth. Theology, the study of God, the truths of God's Word. Because a lot of people have a methodology, but they don't have a theology or the truth where it came from. And so, in the first three chapters, Paul tells us that once we got in Christ, we're chosen in Christ. And we're headed for heaven, and we're also seated in heavenly places in Christ. He tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He tells us what our purpose is. Just look at an example, Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, here is the theology that we build our walking worthy off of. So, he said, God is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us. Praise the Lord for His mercy and His love. And how did He show that? Even we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. So, when we got saved, when we got born again, our spirit was born again. We were quickened. That which was dead, the spirit that was just pumping air, is now made alive and can communicate with God. And He raised us together and made us seat and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that the spiritual reality is, in God's mind, you're already in heaven? You're already perfect and sanctified in Christ? But the earthly reality is that we have to learn how to walk worthy. We have to learn how to appropriate. The heaven reality needs to become our earthly experience by degrees, okay? That in the ages, now why did He do this? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. So how do we show God's grace? God wants you to be a picture of grace. God wants other people to look at you and say, look what the Lord did. Grace, you know what grace is? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. You know what grace is? Grace is everything that you have that you don't deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve to be punished for my crimes that I've committed against God. And God in His mercy said, I'm not going to punish you, but in His grace He gave me the Holy Spirit. In His grace He made me His son. In His grace He sealed me and He raised me up to sit in heavenly places. And He made me part of His family. The grace of God enabled you to walk in here this morning. The grace of God gives you oxygen this morning and food this morning and every good thing that we have this morning that we do not deserve. It is the grace of God that you're alive and you have life. You did not deserve that. You did not give that to yourself. God gave it to you and He gave you eternal life. And God wants us to show that grace to everyone, okay? In His kindness through Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you work for. It's something that is freely given to you. And then He says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boasting has to go away. It has to go away. You know why salvation is not by works? Lest any man should boast. You know what salvation by works says? God and I are going to work this thing out. Okay? He's going to do part and I'm going to do part. And then when I get to heaven, God's going to bring out His wallet and say, well, I didn't think you could do it, but I owe it to you. I have to give you salvation. I'm beholden to you. What an insult. It's by grace. It's free. And then he says this, if you're saved, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So he saved you for something. He saved you to do something, to do good works. You see, we work from salvation. Do you understand that? We don't work to salvation. We're not trying to become Christians. We are Christians, therefore we work. A police officer doesn't go arrest people to become a police officer. He arrests people because he is a police officer. And if I'm a Christian, I'm going to do certain things, not to become, but because I am. That's how God designed the Christian life. He wants you to do things not to be made pleasing in his sight, but because you are pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and he ordained that we should walk in him. Okay, now when we get to chapter 4, after everything he builds, the unity of the body, those that are Gentiles and that are Jews, the mystery of the one body, Christ in you, the hope of glory, these truths that nobody else knew, foundational, mind-blowing, wonderful truths of God. Now, that's the theology. Now Paul says, well, what does that mean? What does that look like in your life and my life? And so he says in 4 verse 1, I therefore, because you're saved, because of what Christ has done for you, the prisoner of the Lord. You see, when you are a Christian, when you are born again, you're not a prisoner of Rome. Okay? You are the Lord's. Whether you're a prisoner, or you're a gardener, or you're a taxi driver, or you're an attorney, or a doctor, or a trash collector, you are the trash collector of the Lord. Okay? You are the Lord's now. He is the one that owns you. He is the one that bought you and paid for you. And Paul said, I'm a prisoner here, but I remember that I am the Lord's. And so I'm going to conduct myself as such. Beseech you. You know what Paul is saying? I'm not commanding you. I'm imploring you. I'm begging you. I'm saying, listen, I love you. I care about you. Look at all that Christ has done for you. Please recognize what Christ has done. Look, I'm a prisoner, and I'm still doing this. Please, I beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Are you walking worthy? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What is a vocation? It's a job, it's a calling, it's what you do. Do you know that God has given every one of you a vocation? He's given every one of you a vocation. Well, what is it? To be Christ-like. To follow Christ. To work out what Christ has worked in me. To be an example of the believer. To let the workmanship of Christ Jesus shine out so everybody could see what Jesus did and you would be a trophy of His grace. Your vocation is to bring glory to the Lord, to live for God and to walk after God and to seek God and to love God. You are called to this vocation. Every one of us are. And He said, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation that you've been given, that you have been entrusted with. Walk worthy. What does that mean to walk worthy? Well, don't have a defeated walk. You know? The Bible says in Hebrews, lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. Okay? People walk around and they don't walk around with a sense of, I'm a child of God. I have been called to do this. I don't get a choice. That's who I am. And I need to step into that. I need to walk as if I believe that is true because it is true. Don't be so prideful that you look at what God called you to do and say, yeah, I don't really want to do that. You know, I sometimes unfortunately read the news, and there was this story about this lady that went to an interview. Okay? And she goes to this interview. She's a college graduate. She goes to this interview and she walks in and she has short shorts on. And the recruiter, the person that was doing all the paperwork and setting up and saying when you can go into the room, he said, you cannot go to the interview dressed that way. You can go home and change and come back later. Or, you know what you can do is we can schedule it for the next day. And you know what she does? She goes home and makes a video and says, I think I look cute. Dress differently? No, thank you. You're going to get a job. You know that what that woman is going to do? She's going to have problems all of her life. And then she's going to talk about being overqualified, even though she never did anything. What is that? That's prideful. That's turning down and scorning and saying, that's not me. And you know what a lot of Christians do? They don't walk worthy. They don't step into it. They don't understand what God called them to do and walk like that. You know the Bible says He made us to be kings and priests? It says we are His ambassadors. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever see, what do you say the way you walk about heaven? What do you say about Jesus, about your commander? You know, I don't understand. I know, I'm not a preacher that always gets on the way that people dress and things like that because I really don't care. I don't notice. But you know what? A lot of people, they have this attitude, I'm going to wear whatever I want. You know why? You're not preparing for anything. You're not going to represent the Lord. You want to be comfortable, but you will prepare more for work or for an interview or for a wedding to a human than you will saying, well, the Lord seems to in His Bible care how we present ourselves before Him, so I'm going to prepare my heart. I'm going to get dressed. I am going to walk in a way that I believe that this is important because I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking to a young man the other day and he was, shopping in the wrong place for a relationship. And I said, do you realize you are the king's son? I said, have you ever seen the king's son digging through the garbage at McDonald's for a hamburger? If the king's son's in trouble, does he ever run under the bridge and cry? Is the king's son ever without resources? Is the king's son ever without backup and ever without support? I said, does the king's son go to the slums among the common people to find a bride? Or does he say to his father, I'm ready. Can you please introduce me to a princess? And you know, the problem is you're not walking worthy. You don't believe what God said about you. You don't believe you're a daughter of the king or a son of the king. So you don't go to your father and say, Lord, would you please introduce me to the right person? I'm ready. I'm trying to get ready. Is there something else that I need to do? Because I believe that you are my provider. But you know what they do? They search through the garbage can and the club and the slums, and they go there looking for a bride because they're not walking worthy. I remember when I was younger, there was these young ladies, and their parents were conservative, and they loved the Lord, right? These young ladies, when they would go somewhere, what they would do is they would take these flows with them that their parents wouldn't approve of. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? And then they would go, and as soon as they got out of sight of their parents, they would put on these clothes. And when they would walk around, you would not know that their parents were Christians. And you know what I thought? You are disrespecting your parents. You are disrespecting, but more than that, you know what you're doing? You're disrespecting your Father in heaven. You are not walking worthy of your vocation. An ambassador does not dress like that. A representative of the Lord doesn't dress like that. And you know why they dress like that? The same reason the young man is digging through the trash trying to find a bride. The reason they dress like that is because they're trying to attract men. And by the way, you'll just attract the wrong one. Well, they say, well, you can catch more flies with sugar than you can with vinegar. And you know what I always thought? We're not trying to catch flies. And if you were in the business of catching flies, you could catch more flies with poop than sugar too. So don't dress in a way to attract the flies and the maggots from the pit. Represent the Lord. And young men, if a woman will use her body as bait, you know what we do when we fish? We use bait and we use something that the fish likes. And then we pull the fish out of the water and we don't have good intentions with the fish. So if she'll use her body for bait, she'll use her body to control you too. So just keep that in mind, okay? But what is all of this? We're not walking worthy of the vocation. Listen, I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of the King. And Paul's saying, I've taught you this. Now walk worthy. Stop disrespecting yourself and disrespecting your Father. So how do you walk worthy? Well, one of the ways you can walk worthy, as he goes down through here, with lowliness. The Lord wants us to be humble. He wants us to be clothed in humility. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. It's an incredible vocation that you've been given. You're not too good for it. You couldn't even do it unless the Lord died and shed his blood so that you could do this. Be humble. We have military people in here, and whenever I see the uniform, I think, what an honor it is to put on that uniform and serve the country. What an honor it is. But you know, it's a much greater honor to serve the Lord. It's a much greater honor. Paul wants us to think about it this way. He really wants you to see what you have is more valuable than anything. And he wants you to be grateful for the opportunity and humble and grab hold of it and just have a lowly. Man, thank God that he died for me. Thank the Lord that he allowed me to hear the gospel. Thank the Lord that he allowed me to be born again and saved. I'm not better than anybody. Meekness. Be strong. Have a good attitude. Be strong. You're not above this. What is meekness? It's strength under control. You know what meekness is? It's not, I can't. I just can't. No. be strong, but have that strength under control. Do the things that God asks you to do. He is the boss. You are His representative. Long-suffering. Boy, we need patience with each other, don't we? Be patient. You know what? It occurred to me that I can't expect my son to have the same understanding I have after walking with the Lord for 30 years when he's been walking with the Lord for 2. I can't have that expectation. I have to be patient. And we have to be patient. God is patient with me. Think about how patient the Lord has been with you. Do you remember what you were like, Pastor Ashton, when you were 21? Do you remember what you were like when you were 15? And then we're so impatient and unloving. My children remind me at times, they say, "Dad, you are 42. You were born in the 1900s. You can't expect me to know these things." And then I get confused. Because should I expect? Well, you know what the Bible says? Be patient. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. You know what forbearing is? It's putting up with. It's putting up with dad's bad breath. It's putting up with idiosyncrasies, the proclivities. People are just, they have these things, you know? And a lot of them are not sin. We just find them annoying and we find them odd. I mean, if you don't know about this, just get married, okay? And when you get married, you're going to be like, "Oh, well, that's different. That's not like me." And she's going to say, "Well, that's different. That's not like me." God made us different. And if it's not sin, you have to give space. You have to forbear. You have to have a good attitude. Because you're a representative. What would you think of an ambassador that treats people in a bad way? That's not walking worthy. How do you walk worthy? You have a good attitude, forbearing one another in love. And with that humility, he gave us the example of the humility here in verse 8. Look at what verse 8. So he tells us this stuff, and then he says about the Lord, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Okay, so this is a quote from Psalm 68, and it's a warrior psalm. And you know what the psalm is talking about? It's talking about when the Lord destroys all of his enemies, and he sits in the throne of his father David, and he takes all the spoils of war, and he says, "Here you go, guys. This is yours. This is for you. This is for you." And boy, we want that, don't we? We want to be in a picture, in a place where we have overcome, and we have plenty of resources, and we're giving, and we're helping, and we're doing, and making a difference. But how did Christ get there? "He that ascended is also, but he also descended" when? First. You know, the fastest way up is down. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. You know, the Lord, he left heaven, and he descended, and he was found and fashioned as a man. And then he went to the cross, and he descended to the grave, and then he descended to the lower parts of the earth. And only after that did he rise, and when he rose, he brought people with him, didn't he? He led captivity captive. And now I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to be a blessing and helpful to people, you have to humble yourself. And the road to humility is one that you walk alone. And when you go up, you'll bring other people with you. But you know what the Lord did? He descended and he went into the heart of the earth. Now, in the heart of the earth, when he went, you know what he said to the thief of the cross? This day will you be with me in paradise. And you can read about the rich man and Lazarus. And in the heart of the earth, there were two compartments. There was hell, and there was Abraham's bosom. And why did he go down there? Because you know what God said to Abel? Yeah, you messed up, but you just bring me this animal and I'll take care of it. How are you going to take care of it? You just leave that to me. You just do what I said. And then all through the Old Testament, they would go to the Lord and say, we have sinned. Moses and Abraham and David and all of them. And God said, you just bring me this animal and you do these things and I will take care of it. And then when they died, they could not be with God because the debt was not settled and it was not paid. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all of that stuff that had been going on for thousands of years. And you know the first thing he did? He said, hey Moses, remember how I told you I would take care of your sin? I've paid the cost. Now you are forgiven. And now you can be with me. And you know why some people don't walk worthy? Because they don't go deep. And they don't appropriate the blood of Christ. And they don't release the captives that they've held captive with bitterness and anger. And the people have done them wrong. Because they're not willing to absorb the cost. So they keep them captive. Because they're not humble enough, like the Lord, to go deal with it. And you have to deal with those things. And you know what else the Lord did when he went down there? He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those are those angels that fell. And you know what? There's nothing that they could do to be redeemed or changed. So you know what God did? He said, look, I have overcome, and because of the cross and what happened, your power over these things is gone. And he set boundaries there. And you know what we have to do in humility is we have to go back in our hearts and we have to find those places that were bitter and angry and holding people captive, and we have to appropriate the blood of Christ. We have to release them and absorb the cost. And then we have to confront those things that we cannot change. We have to set boundaries there. And then you know what happened? The Lord ascended. And he brought people with him. And those people, he led captivity captive. Those people were captive and in this place and they could not worship him and all those other things. He led them captive. And now instead of being in captivity, they were captivated by the Lord. You once were a slave to sin. And you know what? The Lord saved you and now you're man, how great is the Lord? And he captivates us. And we worship him and we serve him and we're his servant because he's released us. And then he goes on to say this. So the Lord gave us that example of humility. And then he said in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Look how many times he says one. And one Spirit. And even as you are called in one hope of your calling, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, Do you realize that no matter what is happening to you, nothing can happen to you that's bigger than God? He's above all and through all. And no matter what's happening now, God can work in that thing. He can work. All things work together for good. He didn't cause it. He didn't want the bad thing to happen. But nobody can prevent God from turning that to good in your life. He's through all and in you all. But he says, I want you to do something. I want you to endeavor. I want you to try to keep. How do you keep something? Do you have to have it first? You know what God gave you when he got saved? Unity with the body of Christ. He gave that to you. Do you know that? Is that what your experience is right now? And if it's not, guess what? You haven't kept it. You haven't kept it. To keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, there's only three things in the Bible that talk about binding people together. It talks about the bond of iniquity. Have you ever noticed that some people are bound by their sin? And it says you put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, love, and the keep the bond of peace. You know what is going to bind people to the body and keep them here? Love and peace. So first, we have to find peace in ourselves. We have to keep that. If you have a storm going on inside of you, you got to get your peace back because God gave it to you. And then we have to endeavor. We have to fight for it. We have to fight for it. Do you realize the devil throws fiery darts and he tries to get things going and he tries to get people at odds with one another? And you know what we have to do? We have to see it and say, no, not here. We got to keep the peace. You know how I attempt to keep the peace in my marriage? When I see something's wrong, I say, honey, seems like something's wrong. Okay? And I want you to know that I love you and I want to dwell at peace with you. I don't want there to be this disunity. And so whatever that I've done, whatever needs to happen, let's talk about that. Wherever I need to take accountability or you need to take accountability, we're going to do that. And we're going to ask for forgiveness and we're going to keep this here. But, you know, it starts with love. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and the desire to keep the peace. And it happens the same way in the body of Christ. Brother Isaiah, man, I don't know what happened. You know, I just feel like there's this unity, and it breaks my heart because I want what God wants. I want to be one. That's what the Lord prayed for in John 17. That's what God wants and what I want. And so will you be honest? And tell me where I've hurt you, where I've injured you. What do we need to do to get this together? You know what that is? That's walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then look what he says here, and we'll be done. He that descended, and the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. So he gave us grace, verse 7, according to the measure of Christ. And he gave us grace because he died for it and he paid for it. And unless you walk worthy of your calling, then you are not going to be able to use that grace and help that grace in your family's life, in the church, and other people's lives. You have to do what the Lord did. Humble yourself, take care of things, and then when you do that, God will raise you up, and you will be able to give the gift that He's been given to you to other people. Because He has something that He wants us to do. Walk worthy. You know, when the Lord was here, He said this, "All power is given to me. All of it. And so I'm going to delegate something to you." He said, "Because I have all power, I'm going to tell you what I want to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them and teach them to observe what I've said." Well, that's a staggering mission. You know, the Lord's not a micromanager. "Hey, Isaiah, I got a job. But go into the world and preach to everybody. Got it? Okay, I'm..." Whoa! He delegate us the authority to do that. Why are you here? "I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm sent here by the Lord, and He has given me the authority to give you the gospel and tell you what I've been given." And God's given you grace, and He wants you to give that grace to others. So let us walk worthy. I'm going to have the piano player come forward, and I want to ask you, and we're closing, are you walking worthy of the vocation which you're called? Are you representing the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you being prideful? Are you being disrespectful? Are you representing what the Lord wants you to represent? Let's pray, and you're welcome to come. Pray in your seat. Lord, I thank You, Father, for all that You have given us, Lord. I thank You for calling us and enabling us and saving us, Lord, and giving us a holy calling. And Father, You said that we should represent and walk worthy, and You gave us the way to do it with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing as we strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Lord, I pray that this morning that this would be a place that has lots of love, and it would have the bond of peace, and this would be a place where people could come and they just feel peaceful when they're here. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's never been saved or born again, Lord, I pray that You would save them and show them that You've done everything and You've made every provision for them to come to You. I pray You'd speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name.